I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Hello, and welcome to The Rebuild. My name is Peter Moses in Los Angeles, and joining me on the other line from Chicago, Illinois, Dr. Gates.
Hey, Pete.
What's up?
It's like Zerm and Mina Kimes on here.
Yes. Yeah. Except we're both Zerm, or are we both Mina Kimes? I feel like we're both one of them.
We're both one of them. Well, I don't know if we're either of them, but we are... you and we are me. So welcome. Victory Monday, folks.
Classic Victory Monday for us. And classic OBJ maybe never playing for the Cleveland Browns again.
Which I have a theory on, which other people have also put this theory forth. But I think we might be better without him.
All right. So like a Ewing theory. All right. Well, the Browns beat the Bengals 37-34 in Baker Mayfield's best game ever.
Yes, correct.
And leave it to all of the punditry and the Cleveland media and even Gates and I texting in the first quarter, like, how are we going to trade for Sam Darnold, basically? And then he ripped off the most consecutive completions in Browns history and looked incredible. And yes, I guess the things that we'll be talking about are, is this because OBJ wasn't there? Was it not? But I think that's a little bit of a moot point. We can get into it now. You know, something that I think is vastly overrated or underrated about him is just the attention that he draws.
That's true.
And I am, you know, I think there's going to be a lot that we're going to miss about him. I think it's easy to just say Baker's better without him, and he might be. He might be better without him, but he draws attention. He draws a safety over the top that helps the run game. I think the run game's going to suffer. He was blocking like a fucking champ. And like he was running his routes and like he was making incredible catches because Baker was kind of playing like dog doo-doo. So I think it's an easy narrative, and I think it fits into like the, you know, Cleveland.com, Athletic, local radio narrative to say like Odell was this like braggadocious receiver who's like a prima donna, and so he caused Baker to suck. There feels like there's some kind of still like weird racial undertones to it somehow.
Well, I've never really agreed with the prima donna narrative on Odell. Always seemed just like pretty contrived to me because he's been pretty much nothing but a good teammate. He says the right things. Like, I guess a few years ago he was headbutting a kicking net and people thought that was ridiculous. And like, I see, you know, he did some things in New York that were questionable, but I don't think they were like anything to match.
He was upset for losing. That's what he was getting ragged for.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that could be interpreted different ways for different players, I think. And for him, he got a certain interpretation. I just wonder, is Baker just like a little, is he like psyched out by him? Is it like Baker's hanging with this cool guy who was a celebrity while Baker was still in college, and he so badly wants to create this connection that everyone's talking about that he's just like, he's thinking a little bit too much about it. Whereas when Odell goes out, suddenly he's spreading the ball around more and he's kind of just seems more comfortable. I don't know. There's a million different things that could have contributed to it. One of them being that it was the Bengals, and the Bengals really aren't good at all on defense. So who's to say? Chances are we're going to find out anyway, because it seems like Odell's injury is pretty bad. We're recording this on Monday morning, so we haven't gotten the full report, but all the tweets.
Not true. Oh. Josiah Anderson reported torn ACL out for the year.
breaking news here on The Rebuild, folks. We have it from our sources that Odell Beckham Jr. has torn his ACL. Oh, fuck. Okay. I was kind of hoping this was more of a he comes back in like week 12 sort of thing and we can work him back in, but we don't need to rely on him. Now we're particularly if Jarvis ever actually lets an injury keep him from playing, then we're really thin. But okay. Huh.
Yep. That's
now it. I feel bad. Fuck.
No reason to feel bad. I think it's, you know, listen, I think that, you know, if you love someone, maybe you have to let them go. And maybe it's time for Baker to find his groove with his favorite receiver, Rashard Higgins, who Stefanski, Freddie Kitchens, no one wanted to let Rashard Higgins cook.
Yeah.
And all he does is like catch incredible passes and has incredible chemistry with Baker.
That second to last down the right sideline, the second to last pass of the game for Baker was just, it was like, that's a number one receiver sort of play. And we know that he doesn't have any of the physical attributes of a number one receiver. And like, there's no reason really that he should be doing the things that he does, but he had what, 110 yards or something like that.
You know what a physical attribute of a number one receiver is? Catching the ball from the quarterback.
That's good.
I would love that one. And something about Baker, man, Baker, listen, we have been ready to write him off. And
I have the text writing him off saying, like, at this point, and I said it to multiple people, at this point, Baker is holding us back from being, from our best start in, you know, since we were in middle school earlier.
And yes, in the womb, actually. But it's hard, man. I don't know how we're supposed to deal with this shit. And I kind of feel bad for the people who have to write about this team every week or talk about them like we do, but in a professional sense, because you can only look at what's happening there. And if you didn't think that Baker, like, I was like, okay, we could get, who's our Ryan Tannehill that we can get next year? Who's going to like push Baker?
Yeah.
And
like Case Keenum, I think is the answer there. But he's
I guess Case Keenum is our Ryan Tannehill, but it's he looked incredible. Didn't get sacked once, by the way. So having no pressure helps, but there's just something about when we've seen him in the zone now enough in his rookie year, and like this was probably the best Baker we've ever seen.
Yep.
And he does have that kind of like I'm in a zone confidence where he's just viewing the field and playing so much more confidently.
And suddenly his pocket presence is better. There was a throw, I think, with like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter where he climbed the pocket as it was kind of collapsing behind him in a way that I don't think I've seen him do in like 20 games or something like that. And just climbed it through, obviously, a pass to Rashard Higgins, one of those like back shoulder ones that he was throwing all day. He just suddenly looked comfortable. Part of that's lack of pass rush, but I think part of it is, you know, maybe we've been talking about Baker fitting into Stefanski's offense and figuring that out. I wonder if a little bit of it is kind of, did Stefanski figure out a little bit about Baker and what works for Baker rather than the other way around? Maybe they're kind of meeting in the middle, Benjamin Button style.
I mean, you can't quote me on this because we don't have stats on this podcast, but he was in the shotgun. It seems like a little bit more this game than he'd been in previous games.
Yeah, which like at some point, you know, we don't need to force him to be under center. If that's how he plays better, like let him develop an under center game over the next few years, sure, but we don't need to just make it happen right now. And maybe especially when
Chris Hubbard is your guard right now and half of Kareem Hunt on one leg is your running back.
I know, suddenly we're incredibly banged up, which was even better just to see our offense hum like this. Did we punt once? I think. Oh yeah, yeah, we punted. We got like two penalties on the punt.
we almost made Jamie Gillum punt. Javier Thomas almost made Jamie Gillum punt three times in a row. Yeah. I thought his leg was
with like a strained groin. Yeah. now our top receiver, top running back, our best playing offensive lineman to this point, and our top tight end are all out right now, and we still pulled that out. So like, I don't know what else you want. Obviously, maybe you just wish that. I don't know if anyone has a problem with this loss, actually. So I'm not going to argue against people that don't exist.
It's sad. It's sad because like he's really good. He's really fucking good. But I do think there is like this thing about being a team now that wins games. Like, we've won five fucking games, man. Yeah. That's more right. games than we won in all of the Hugh Jackson era.
Yeah, by like, is that over 50%?
By two?
Yeah, by 66%. Yeah, but and like, we're winning them in different ways, which is cool. At first, it seemed like we just needed to get out early with a lead and then run the ball. And that's kind of gone away because of the injuries. But we're finding ways to win things.
I don't think, as a fan base, we know how to handle winning.
Agreed.
I don't think anyone 100% knows. Like, I listen to some of, like, the post-game show or, mm-hmm. you know, people calling in or comments online about what's troubling. Like, we won.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
You fucking win, then you win. That's the whole point of the game. Like, yes, yeah. are we going to talk about how, like, I am personally going to fly to Cleveland to drive Andrew Sandejo anywhere else he wants to go? Sure.
I'm going to send you, because I actually just took a clip. I was watching the highlights because I don't know how to spend my time well. But I was watching highlights.
Andrew Not Sandejo with your child.
exactly. On the Bengals' final touchdown there where they went up with a minute and 6 seconds left, Andrew Sandejo was so out of position. He over-pursued, I think, I don't know who caught that touchdown, but the guy went
Bernard,
in motion.
Giovanni Bernard.
Yeah. Gio Bernard. Bernard came in motion and then basically doubled back. And Andrew Sandejo did like a Fred Flintstone trying to stop his momentum sort of thing. I'll send it to you if you want to tweet it. I don't have Twitter. So if you want to tweet it, people, you can go to Moses' Twitter maybe at Danger Moses and see this play. And he's so bad. And we can get to the defense in a little bit because it's all bad. But I mean, he's like a full 1 to 2 seconds behind on everything.
I think that's the most frustrating part about him personally is we're winning. Everything's going well. Like, even if you're playing a combination of Carl Joseph, Redwine, and Harrison Ronnie, back there, yeah. like, I understand that they're out of position, and, like, I understand that I know nothing about football, Jon Snow, but at the same time, it really can't be worse. You can't, giving up 32 points a game is, and, like, so much of it goes back to him. It does feel, again, like a Rashad Higgins thing where it's like, how many times are we going to have to watch this coaching staff try to figure this out over and over and over again?
Right. It seems relatively obvious. And there's probably an aspect at this point where like Sandejo has made so many notable poor plays that now we're noticing it. He's like under a microscope more than ever now. So like everyone, there's a lot of blame to go around, I'm sure. On
Definitely.
The defensive back seven, but he does just, he's like, always a guy, and it's like he's playing on a tape delay. Like he's like, okay. It's just he's not seeing the ball until a second later than everybody else is.
He is on like a it's right. He's on like a 7 second delay yeah. where it's like he's watching the game. Like when I'm watching it on streaming and you're watching it on cable. It's
exactly, like, and there's you're right. There's just got to be some. I don't know. Okay, this is I don't know the difference between a free safety and a strong safety, and I won't pretend to. But like, can't one of I don't even know which one he plays. I think he plays free safety.
He's playing free because the strong is usually down in the box more.
Okay. Yeah. So I have trouble believing that you can just have between Joseph Redwine and Ronnie Harrison, those three guys playing strong and free safety.
Or blank. Just or blank.
Yeah.
Or practice squad or, you know, I don't understand what Demaryius Randall did to everybody on every team he's ever been to.
Yeah.
To make him like so toxic, but it just like the middle of the field with the linebackers too is just brutal because yes, Terrence Mitchell, brutal drop could have ended this yeah. game and a rough game for a guy who's been genuinely playing pretty well.
Right. And, like, and is supposed to be a backup, has been a starter this whole time. And he just dropped it, whatever.
And shout out to Spiro Ditas, by the way. And the CBS crew who basically were like, Myles Garrett is the only person doing anything on this defense, and then said Denzel Ward's name 15 times, who had a fantastic game.
Yeah, it's playing incredibly.
Yeah. Our defense is our two first-round picks.
Yeah.
And Delpit would be back there. It's sad. It's sad because Delpit would be back there. Greedy.
At least a little more depth, yeah.
Greedy has some kind of like Markel Fultz like shoulder injury where like he can't shoot free throws properly. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Greedy's missing all his free throws in practice. So they put him on the IR.
Yeah, missing all of his free throws. They're trying to find him a sports psychologist. It's yes, the defense is a mess. But again, Like, again, another fucking game. Another game where Myles Garrett had two sacks and a forced fumble.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Be grateful, folks. Be grateful. He's right now probably the defensive player of the year on the worst defense, which I think is more a reflection on how many points we would be giving up if we didn't have Myles Garrett.
Yeah, God forbid anything happens. If anything happens to Myles Garrett, we can just stop watching. Because, I mean, it was troubling that the Bengals had like three injuries in this game when they already had some to go in on offensive line. Like they were down to their third stringer at I think center or maybe whatever on the offensive line.
They lost three linemen during the game.
And we still weren't getting good penetration at all. And Ogunjobi's kind of been hurt and Richardson's been hurt. So maybe they just need to like kind of get right. But it was weird that, we had a backup center in there and kind of couldn't get anything up the middle with those two guys who have generally been great. So all around on the defense is not good. But again, to your point, we fucking won. How many games have we had where it's like, oh, the defense kept them in it, but we just couldn't pull it out. It's like, well, guess what? We pulled it out. It doesn't matter.
All right, folks, going to take a quick second to tell you about Bet Online. Football is back and in full swing, baby. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of a great sign-up bonus. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. I've done it. It's super fun. I've won a couple props on our rushing attack earlier this year. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode of The Rebuild is also brought to you by Indeed. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners of The Rebuild a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates you will see fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer anywhere. Anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Back to the show. We keep winning on crucial situations, and Joe Burrow's good. Joe Burrow's really fucking
really
good.
He looks incredible. And it's going to be an issue. It sucks.
There was definitely – it sucks, but I'll tell you what. It definitely feels a lot better when Baker looks like that, especially it dampens the blow a little bit.
Yeah, all those narratives that would have been if Burrow's just totally outdueling Baker. Like, you know, former number one picks, former Heisman winners. This one came out on top, and this time Baker just – I can't believe how bad he looked in the first quarter and then how magnificent he was for the rest of it.
It's really incredible, and I think, okay, also, he is playing with a cracked rib.
Yes.
Which I imagine, I'm not a doctor, so you tell me, but sounds like it hurts.
I think that's what the textbooks say, is that it hurts quite a bit. And something you probably shouldn't do is throw, because it uses quite a bit of the rib cage to throw a football. But yeah, he's hopefully... No one pops his lung like they did Tyrod Taylor, because I imagine he's getting some of those same injections. Known complication, by the way. That, you know, that's just something that can happen when you do that. So
it is. It just makes everything feel better when, like, because because also when Josh Allen didn't look great, that was kind of nice because he'd been playing at like an MVP caliber. But, you know, if Stefanski's going to say we have faith in this guy and it's their first time together still in a brand new fucking offense, his fourth coach in 3 years, it is impossible for anyone. It's impossible for the Mary Kays or the Zach Jacksons to show patience because you have to live the life that you've been living. And right. You have no choice but to factor in 20 years of total fuckery.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to detract. It's impossible as a fan to pull ourselves away from this sadness and look objectively at anything.
I think it's difficult for coaches a lot of the time too. And that's where Stefanski's like level-headedness just becomes such an asset, because I think we've had plenty of coaches in the last two decades who probably would have pulled him after that first quarter and then just created this debacle of like, I would have pulled him if I was coaching. Like, I'm not quite a football coach.
Not yet.
But not yet. Once I figure out the strong safety, free safety thing, I think I'm on my way. But yeah, I mean, Stefanski just like seeing it through and not getting too jumpy is so valuable. And Stefanski's amazing. We're fucking 5-2, and our two losses are to the Steelers and the Ravens. Like, there's no, I mean, they weren't good games, but there's no shame in losing to those teams.
No shame of losing to those teams at all. And frankly, the Steelers and the Ravens are probably two of the top five teams in the NFL.
Yeah, easily.
If not, probably top four.
Yeah.
You've got, like, I understand, like, Seahawks offense. Seahawks are very similar to us, actually, in the fact that their offense is unstoppable and their defense can't stop anyone.
Yeah.
Right. The Chiefs are the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And like, really, after the Seahawks, like, who else in the NFC do you give a shit about?
I guess the Bucks, but the jury's kind of still out there. I mean, they lost to the Bears like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the Bears, I know they're 5-1, but they're not actually 5-1.
has there ever been a more disrespected 5-1 nationally than the Chicago Bears?
It's pretty funny. Even people here, like, no one's convinced, as far as I can tell, and I don't really blame them. But whatever, you know, it goes back to like, you are what your record says you are. And we've had plenty of teams where we felt like they should be winning games that they're not. And that's been our reality forever. And now we're winning games. So like,
that's the only key, is we usually are like, we should have won. Yeah. And this time we're like, hey, we won. And that's it. That's the whole point of everything we're fucking doing.
We don't need to take this weird step of we should have won better. Like, we keep doing that, and I guess I get it on some level, because I think with Baker it's a little weird, because he looked like he was going to be the best quarterback in the NFL after his rookie season, and a lot of that was media hype, but he did break Peyton Manning's rookie touchdown record. Like, it seemed like he was going to be great and transcendent. Now it's looking like maybe the ceiling is more just good. So I get that when we look back at after every week, we're like, but we just want Baker to basically be flawless. And actually, in this game, he kind of was after the first quarter.
He was actually flawless.
That was after incredible.
He played three quarters of flawless football. They scored, again, we scored 30 points in, like,
all of our games? No, well, besides
all of our wins. All of our wins. Five of our seven games, we scored 30 points. And, like, can I just say something? Can I just say, Donovan Peoples-Jones is... Yeah. Such a fucking steal. I'm a Michigan fan. Yeah, ha ha ha. Joke is on me. You can think that's dumb, and you're right. It's super sad.
So you're a Browns fan, folks. So
yes.
Yeah.
Listen, it's fine. Yeah. I mean, listen. I grew up in Cleveland. You can't say anything worse to me than everyone's already said to me in our friend group growing up. Exactly. So I've been through the ringer. In fact, Gates, you and I went to a game in Ohio at the Horseshoe. Where I wore a Michigan t-shirt when we were like 16 years old.
In the student section.
My dad put us in the student section.
Not a fun experience at all. Lucky to be alive.
Oh, man.
Very blessed.
Oh, man. That honestly, nothing prepared me more for stand-up comedy, to be honest. but Donovan Peoples-Jones is the number one ranked receiver coming out of high school. And Jim Harbaugh and the quarterbacks at Michigan did him absolutely no favors. He was arguably as talented, if not more, than Braylon Edwards. Just had no one who could figure out how to throw them the ball, and an offense that was schemed like a third grader. So he is, I mean, the sky is the limit for this dude in terms of what, like, this is not, like, he is massive. He's got great hands. That was the best catch I've ever, that was like one of the best catches I've ever fucking seen.
That was a great catch to get it. Both of his catches feet he had. Was incredible. Yeah.
To Jarvis was insane.
Yep. Wow, Jarvis. Jarvis can really throw, man. It's insane. Like, he was like getting hit as he threw and like threw it over a linebacker perfectly to the sideline. It's pretty amazing. He's, Jarvis is the man. Shout out to Jarvis. You're just like, he's so cool. And I do think he just kind of makes the team go. I hope he can stay healthy.
I think he was, I mean, it seems like he doesn't stay healthy and it doesn't really matter.
No, that's true. That's true. He's, yeah, he's so, so, okay. So we've got the Raiders coming up. I don't know what to make of the Raiders. I think all I really know about them is that they beat Kansas City at Kansas City. So I'm afraid of them, but, we're favored by 3. So I think they know something that I don't. I guess it's basically a pick 'em because we're at home. So
yeah, they took a lick from the Rays. They took it from the Bucks. actually, the Renfro on the Raiders is the brother of Hunter Renfro on the Rays.
I thought Hunter Renfro is on whatever
on the Rays, and then the other Renfro, other Renfro is like their slot guy.
Okay, he came from Clemson.
Yeah.
See, we know sports.
We know sports, baby. I think we are. Raiders are 3-3. We're banged up, and Henry Ruggs might catch 4 touchdowns for 600 yards.
Yep.
But that's still only 28 points, and we know that if we're going to be successful, we're going to win a game, we're going to score 30 points. It's crazy to watch the Browns and just say, even after a first quarter, being like, okay, how are we going to get to 30 points here?
Yeah.
And then they do, and you're like, well, fuck me, this is crazy.
It's really just so much more fun to watch, just from an entertainment value versus, I mean, that pretty much goes without saying. Not even worth saying. What is worth saying is that if we can beat the Raiders, which I guess we're favored to do, so it's not impossible, we'll be 6-2, heading into a bye, which, I mean, could not come at a more perfect time, just given our injuries and everything. Hopefully we can get Chubb back after that. Hopefully we can get Wyatt Teller or Miles Teller playing.
Maybe we really can get Miles Teller to get really into character and just as a free safety.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Teller, I think that's an underrated loss. I think Hubbard's been admirable in replacing him, but he doesn't. I think Hubbard's kind of holding it on the fort and doesn't give you that value add that Teller was just as like a road grader. But yeah, if we were 6-2 going into this coming up against Houston, Philly, and Jacksonville, like we should be 9-2 if that happens, or 8-3 at worst.
Would we be upset if we're 7-4 into December?
It would mean that we took some ugly losses, so I think the narrative wouldn't be very great. But, I mean, would you sign up for that early, you know, in preseason? Yeah, 100% you would. And it's largely just going to be about how we finish. But the challenge, we've 3 real challenges left on the schedule: Tennessee, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. But 2 of those are at home against teams we've already played. It's not impossible to imagine that we can at least be competitive in those. So
I don't think the other impossible. Teams
are really bad. The Jets and Giants on the schedule late is 2 of our last 3 games are Jets and Giants. It's amazing.
It's really, it's really like we should make the playoffs. And this is this game is basically like a Colts game where if we win this game and we send the Raiders to a 3-4 record and we go to 6-2. That basically locks us in for one of the wild card spots.
Fantastic. Yeah, in terms of the AFC horse race, like that would just be massive because neither of those teams could really, I mean, we'd have the tiebreaker. It'd be, yeah. Another note in the AFC, the Patriots fucking suck. And it's been such a joy to listen to the likes of Bill Simmons or just texting I went to Boston College, so all my friends are from New England. And just for years, they just, you know, you talk about how like we don't know how to win. They truly do not how to lose. Don't know how to lose, and I don't blame them. They've never really experienced it. So to have bad quarterback play, like everyone's like, what's wrong with Cam Newton? It's like, this is what you get when your quarterback isn't one of the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, you just get some really shitty games and sometimes weeks in a row and you fucking lose. You get stomped and embarrassed. And it's, especially as we kind of come around the other way, like, we've been polar opposites for so long. I just love watching not even the Patriots lose, but watch people have to process it. And we're going to just start to get, like, so much more talk about, hey, we have the greatest dynasty in history. And all that is true, but it doesn't fucking matter anymore. You know who had a great dynasty? The Cleveland Browns in the 1950s. It doesn't do us much good.
I'm with you that watching Patriots fans understand that you can lose is going to be one of the most satisfying things to come out of 2020.
Yeah. And, like, they might be in some trouble for a while. Like, they're... We'll see. They're probably going to beat us in the playoffs. So.
I also want to say shout out to Tom Brady for, dude, he threw a touchdown yesterday. I don't know if you, he threw a touchdown yesterday, which I recommend you looking up to, I think, like, the little white dude Miller on their team.
Yeah.
And it was like a 60-yard bomb to the back of the end zone. And I just feel like Brady has won the Belichick Brady who's going to kind of pull this out already. Like, duel.
Jesus, Julie. My God. So sorry about that, folks. I'm recording in my bathroom because there's construction going on outside. And my wife should know that, but she just came into the bathroom. I'm not using the bathroom. I'm just in the bathroom.
No, you've been pooping this whole time. Let's be real.
I really scared her. Wow. Sorry, Jules. And so I'm in a bathroom. You're not wearing a shirt on this Zoom call, which is our brand of podcasting.
That's how we roll, baby.
And I mean...
It's unacceptably early for me Monday morning.
You take good care of that body, Brady style. You're gonna be doing that, well in your 40s as well.
And I kiss my 12-year-old son directly on the mouth, baby. That's my vibe. All right, Gates. Well,
sorry.
No, apology not accepted because it's not necessary. This is what you get on this show.
Right.
I think we got a shot against the Raiders. I think I wouldn't be surprised if we lose. But again, this is the cool thing that I think is the biggest thing to take away from this season so far with this coaching staff is, and even fuck it, with Baker too, who just had the best game we could have ever hoped for, is we'll be in the game.
Yeah.
We'll be in the game. And, oh, one thing we didn't talk about. Shout out to the fact that Harrison Bryant is fucking sweet.
He's dynamite, dude. I love watching him. We knew he was going to be. That's us.
I dropped him in my fantasy league, but everyone made fun of me when I drafted him, and I was like, no, he's gonna pop. And I just didn't know it was gonna take an appendectomy to make that happen. But and again, even with Njoku, it's like so annoying that he has Drew Rosenhaus out there saying he's demanding to get traded, and the Browns are just like, fuck you, we're not gonna trade you. Like, especially with Beckham going down, like, we're going to be running 2 to 3 tight ends out there every fucking play.
Right.
So
Njoku did make, he made the best catch we've seen him make.
Incredible catch. You're right. Shout out to Njoku as well.
Incredible catch. Better catch than ball, but both were fantastic.
Yeah. Njoku, 2 touchdowns, right?
No, Bryant had 2 touchdowns and Njoku just
Bryant had 2
1.
And Njoku. 3 tight end touchdowns, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Kareem Hunt. Man, we're going to be in the game. You know what? Yeah. Whatever happens on Sunday, I think it's fair to say we will be disappointed only if they're not in the game. And that is a massive improvement compared to where we have been over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, last quite a long time.
and by that, I mean 20.
Yeah, it's pretty nice to see. Hopefully we can just – I think if Baker can get into more of a groove and, like, continue some of this momentum – we as a fan base can start enjoying it a little bit more and stop being quite so antsy about all of it because we've all sort of experienced that. But we look fucking good and we're going to get some players back here that are going to make a big difference in the next couple of weeks. So, like, it's going to be a hell of a back half of the season.
It's going to be a hell of a back half of the season. Can't wait for Chubb to get healthy. Hopefully we see him in 3 weeks after the bye. Houston looks sad. Houston is like just the saddest team right now because they just signed Deshaun Watson, but, like, what are they going to do with him? They don't have any money. They don't have a GM or a coach. Romeo Crennel is their head coach. Like, looking good.
It's looking good. I mean, this, as we've said before, the schedule is favorable, but We've this is the first time that's ever happened to us that we've had a schedule that's nice to us. So I'm not going to apologize for that at all. Yeah, so stop asking, NFL.
Yeah, we will not apologize. Gates, where can people find you?
Just still at the hospital. In your bathroom? Working there in my bathroom, scaring my wife. Yeah, I'm just going to hang out here. It's nice in here. It's high ceilings. You can probably hear the echo, but nice little apartment here in Chicago.
Nice.
Where can people find you? What are you doing?
You can find me on the Twitter streets at Danger Moses. You can also check out BlueWirePods.com for everything. Zerm is on here on Fridays usually, and yeah, that's it, man.
That's it. 5-2.
We had an awesome football game and we won. We're 5-2. Hell yeah! Right.
And we didn't even have to do this after the Steelers game. We didn't even have to talk about it. We won't.
Nope. Yeah. 16 little seasons every year, baby.
That's right. Good stuff, man. Go Browns.
Go Browns.